the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Satyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Satyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Satyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do not deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May they all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Samadhi is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By our passion, comprehension, and anticipated solution. By compassion and aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. by a compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by a compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dhyanti tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
we are prepared to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. So what shall we look at this morning?
Well, one thing to start is it's been a really full morning. I feel like I've been at a weekend workshop already this morning, which maybe it's just the end of Mercury retrograde. I don't know. One thing, just one beautiful gift of this morning, though, again, is birds. And I have never experienced it like this, but their songs are like these incredible tendrils that reach out and anchor one in awareness. And I've just never felt that in that same way. It's like, it is impossible to be in a conversation with conditioned mind and to be present to the songs that the birds are singing. It's just like so incredible.
It really is incredible, isn't it?
There
are these magnificent songs that the attention can rest on, and then it is so utterly impossible to be in a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that the heart chooses that, you know, that it is so there, they're so beautiful and so available.
It's just interesting to watch, and you know, wow, I know I've gone through periods of my life and I've probably never heard a bird for ever.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then just to watch, oh, there's the bird. And then it's like, oh, where'd I go?
Uh-huh.
And then there's the bird. And so anyway, that's just useful. Not useful.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like all life is there to support presence.
Yeah.
And we notice that it's there.
It's so neat, isn't it, that life is, let's just say, life is there to support presence, and so here's the practitioner who's watching, okay, here are the birds, okay, now I'm not hearing the birds, where am I? Okay, here are, so it's really using everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop it in suffering,
mm-hmm.
So there you are, tuning to the birds and then noticing when you're not.
Yes.
Back and forth. And it really is like life is just providing that opening for presence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm just infinitely grateful to them for their assistance.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so the other thing that's just been I've been looking at this morning is pseudo Zen. Mm-hmm. And folks have mentioned we don't avoid doing what needs to be done, but we don't make stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the relationship class, this is probably all of this is just that class is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been seeing that there has been this huge pseudo-Zen belief that, and it's that if I get to get centered, everything's okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to do it. That's all I have to do is get centered.
Mm-hmm.
And then my relationships will work, and then everything will work. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those, it's a quick trip to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what I'm seeing this morning is it just is skimming over the top of things. It's not living life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like another excuse to not really be alive.
Mm-hmm. The excuse is that I have to get centered before I can really live, and then everything will work.
Yeah, well, yeah, that somehow it's all up to me to just, and I can do this somehow in a vacuum.
Uh-huh.
That I can just get centered, and then everything's going to work.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't need all those other things. All those other things in my life that aren't working are just because it's just so egocentric.
Uh-huh.
Not working because I haven't done it right yet.
Uh-huh. So let me see if I'm tracking.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing is that there's this pseudo-Zen story that gets laid over your life. And the story goes, if I just get centered, mm-hmm. then all the relationships will work, all mm-hmm. the health mm-hmm. issues in my life mm-hmm. will work. And I've got to do this in isolation, sort of by myself,
mm-hmm.
and then that'll happen.
Yeah.
And what you're seeing is that when that happens, that's a short trip to hell.
Oh, yeah. It's just not engaging, and it seems to me right now, it's not engaging in life at all.
Yeah.
It's just one of those other tricks to engage in a conversation and to check, well, is this centered? Is this,
Yeah.
And I'll know when I'm centered because then everything's going to start magically working.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just be, I'll be happy and, all of that. And it is what I mentioned a few groups ago about it. My practice is what's here right now.
Yeah.
And to just, looking at what would it be like, whatever it is that's like up right now, to just turn and face it. To just turn and face it. It's just big for me. Well, as my particular type, it's like, turn and face it, heck no. turn and go to my happy place, which is this imaginary centered place,
And it's my happy place, ego's happy place.
Ego's happy place.
Because as you just said, it's a hell of a place for support.
Right, right, because it is, I'm seeing what keeps me tied in a knot all the time, because it's, well, it's not authentic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I don't get, folks don't get the experience of the authentic life being expressed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, my words are all tangled up, but you know what I mean? Life authentically expressing through this human.
Well, people don't get to experience life the authentic Sequoia, and Sequoia doesn't get to experience the authentic Sequoia. Right. It's like that conversation of be a center and everything will work out, and pseudo then is what you trade the birds for.
Yeah. Trade the birds. Yeah, it's, one doesn't get to live.
Mm-hmm.
One does not get to live in that kind of, you know, and it's the connection that's desired doesn't happen.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's the only connection that's maintained is that one with egocentricity.
Yeah.
And so just looking at, and the other thing that arose is that so then what right away comes like, oh, there's just so many places to turn and look. This is just a little overwhelming. But then it's like I would it seems to me that just turning and looking and starting in one place and going deep with it would probably open the door to authenticity in a whole lot of other areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and turning and looking in one place, mm-hmm. that turn and face it,
mm-hmm.
it goes with what you just said a minute ago, that your practice is what being with whatever is here.
Yeah.
So it's not like condition 9 gets to even tell you what that one place would be, because that would launch on it. Well, then you got to deal with this, and you got to deal with that, and then get centered, and then put this door, all that. But what you're practicing is just turning to the moment,
mm-hmm.
and whatever is arriving, that's your practice.
Yeah.
And just not turning away from that.
Yeah. And as you said that's the making other stuff up.
It's
like what's here right now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
With and going with that. And
doing what needs to be done without making stuff up.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah. And then see what door opens with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been great.
Yeah, the birds and the animals too. I was driving up the road and there were two horses in the pasture, and one was on his back, like with his legs going like this. And I caught my attention because and then he flipped over and he was trying to get up and then he was struggling, and then this I don't know what it is called. It's an egret or a, it looks almost like kind of a pelican type bird.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Just flew right over these two horses, like this blue and gray, silver egret or whatever it was called.
Uh-huh.
It's just like this beautiful bird just flew right over the horses. I was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous. It was a gift. And it just made, it occurred to me how beautiful life is.
Weren't you glad you were there to receive that gift?
Yeah, it was amazing. And then right after that, I had a huge insight, so, you know, perhaps they were there to get me into the moment to see this. And lately I've been seeing how adequate I am, which is such a gift, too, and how impersonal conditioning is.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Which is not something I've really been in touch with, you know. I mean, I'm still taking it personally. That's a good way to say it. Or, you know, I have been taking it personally, and I've just been getting these glimpses of how it isn't, and how adequate the life that's living me is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. So to something that had been feeling like personal, like, okay, I've got all this karma, I've got all this egocentric karma conditioning, self-hate, and it's me, and it's personal, and all that. And then stepping back and getting these glimpses of how profoundly not personal it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an amazing experience. And what's there when that spaciousness is there is also a sense of profound adequacy.
Yeah. And it comes from what it came. I started the recording about all the amazing things that happened during the day, and and reassurance that they're not really reassurances. They're more like, well, they are that, and they're also they're not affirmations, of course, but they're kind of like in each category of my life that I can actually be successful in those kind of things. And so like nutrition, money, relationship, I just have these things that I'm saying and I'm putting them on the recorder.
That are true, that are actually
happening. Yeah, that are true. And versus, you know, what isn't true, which is the lies of conditioning that say, you know, you can't do this or you can't do that. And what I've seen is as I'm doing that, I'll see conditioning come in trying to say the opposite, you know, as I'm...
In your head?
Yes.
You're saying it out loud in the recorder, so you can watch conditioning come into your head and say the opposite.
Or say reasons why those things won't happen.
Yeah.
And I realized, and that's what's helping me see the difference between the adequacy of the person in the life and the inadequacy of conditioning and how impersonal that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that place that you're describing is such a rich place because you're present, because you're actually saying what's so into the recorder. It feels reassuring on some, you know, on multiple levels. And at the same time, what you're seeing in the field of awareness is conditioning doing its thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when it arises like that in your awareness, the starkness of the difference is so stark, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you can that its credibility is diminishing,
mm-hmm.
and your adequacy, your sense of your adequacy, is increasing.
Right,
mm-hmm. right.
And the other piece of that is so important, and also people have been telling me that they're experiencing is when you start to move in that direction of your heart or your adequacy, it gets louder. And you know, just even like, and I've noticed a few times where you'll start out like it'll be a week you're doing it, and it catches up with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, okay, so I'm going to do this. I've never done it before, and I'm going to go do this thing that my heart wants, my body's good for me, and all these things. And then about a week later, it starts in. You know, stress is getting me to stop doing it. There's like this
I'm unaware. It's like it's gotta catch up because you got off the hand of it. With all those lovely truisms that are going on in your life about having your adequacy, and so now it's gotta catch up.
Yeah.
And be loud and be forceful about no, that's not true.
Yeah. Sometimes it'll happen right away. If there's not like a set pattern or anything, but sometimes it'll be fast and sometimes it'll be a lag time. But I just know that it gets louder.
Yeah.
Or it comes up with some story to distract you, or you know, it's just so helpful to do those recordings because, you know, I used to think it was helpful to do them so that you could replace the voices of conditioning, and that probably is part of it. But really, what it is to see them.
Yeah.
And to see the difference and to not believe them.
Yeah.
You know, like, because as you're doing that, you see all that junk that it talks about all the time. You know, all that stuff that controls your life when you're not watching it.
Yeah.
Or when you're not, I don't even, watching it isn't the right word either, but then you get too analytical about it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's doing this and doing that. You don't want to do that either, but it's like, can turn your attention and then you can see it in a different, in the field of awareness, like you said.
Yeah. So if I'm tracking, what you're pointing to is that there used to be this sense that, okay, I've got this tape going on in my head, now I'm going to replace the bad stuff with good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That it's still going to be sort of basically the same process of listening to some kind of conversation in my head. It's just, I want to change the content.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're seeing is that, in fact, what that process of recording is doing is taking you to a place where you can see.
Mm-hmm.
The process is really changing.
Yeah.
So it's not just that you're sort of unconsciously listening to something.
Mm-hmm.
It's that the field of awareness is actually expanding.
Yeah.
So you're with your adequacy. That's certainly there. It's arising. It's you're getting glimpses of that and all of that. And you're also seeing the whole egocentric karmic conditioning system doing what it does. Loud, soft, lag, quick, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
It's all there too. So the process of recording is actually taking you to a different place.
And it's impersonal.
And it's impersonal.
You see it in an impersonal way.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So really good stuff.
Very good.
Thank you.
God.
I love when you kind of have something you want to talk about, and then other people talk, and you're like, whoa, whoa, and there's that, and there's that, and now I don't even really know what to say.
Yeah.
It's all been really helpful.
Yeah.
I guess I've been looking at the process of support, and what I was hearing in those other two discussions, too, is just what I'm seeing, what I'm reminded of, is that it seems like the main piece of the process of support is just saying yes to, you know, it was being talked about, the adequacy of life living. So I don't actually have to go out there and, like, do stuff or make something happen or turn it around or, you know, it's like, at least my experience has been lately that, and I can give some examples, but there'll be something that'll arise that's supportive. And you know, really what it requires is to see that and to say yes. That's about it.
That's about it. It reminds me of the Musings article, right? It says the way to end suffering is to learn to say yes.
Yes.
Because there it is, isn't it? So you're just going through life, just living life. The adequacy is, right? And something comes in to offer support. And your role is to say yes to that. And not, and what you offered is maybe a contrast is somebody that thinks they got to go out there and get it and find it and do it and try this and do that and actually do the something that the that line just offers. So really, what we're doing is we're responding with a yes.
Yeah. So just like a couple of examples where, you know, last night there were, after the schedule, there's some things I wanted to do to take care of me, you know, and to clean up, fold some clothes, make this recording that I wanted to make. And there was just this, I just want to lay on my bed. You know, I just want to, no, you know, how about we just go to bed, you know, that kind of stuff. And I've been there before, you know. And it's just sort of like, well, how about we just set the timer and lay here for 5 minutes? And then so that happened, and then there was still some resistance, and then what arose with, we'll just turn on the recorder, see what comes out. And basically I just said all the resistance out loud on the recorder instead of having it in the head, and just totally disidentified. I got up, started doing those things, and it felt so good, you know? And, and so, like, another thing was, how about we record a lesson this morning before we eat? Okay. Just sat down on the east porch and had some tea, and I love doing that because in the morning I'll just do, like, it's really simple, everything I love, everything I'm grateful for, and I just see what arises. And today was, like, everything that's pleasurable. And there's so many things that are pleasurable just in that moment, just sitting on the Adirondack chair, the tea, the sun coming in. Folks here did some amazing work. The grounds look really beautiful and well taken care of. And it's like, oh, now I'm in a place of pleasure and care. And I'm just seeing, like, those kinds of things are showing up all the time. How about this? Yes. And pretty soon you put those little moments together and you're living a life of support and care and presence.
And yes.
And, like, it could be things like, some guidelines I'm adhering to or agreements I'm following around some business items. And have got caught up in urgency, did one of the business items outside of the thing. Okay. And Rose communicated about it. So I did. And then I got back in line, and a little bit later I did it again. I got caught up in urgency. Okay, we'll get on the recorder. Okay. And it was just like in that place, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
We just keep showing up to the yes and the support, and you can see it as a much larger process rather than when I get caught up in a lot, which is, I'm not doing it right, or I messed up again, or the karma of, well, we'll just fix this on our own, or don't tell anybody you didn't do your commitment, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a place of real freedom.
Yes. Uh-huh. And real freedom. So when your example that you gave, it shows so beautifully that whole process of the support coming in. Why don't we just turn the recorder? So there it is. There's the support coming in. Hey, why don't we just communicate? And then what that's met with often, in those cases, is yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just doing it. Just following the support that's there. And in that way, we might say colluding with life, as opposed to the karmic. And you also lay those out really clearly, so you're seeing it all, right? So, mm-hmm. Okay, I want to hide it, maybe to handle it on my own, but not say anything, think there's something wrong, go to that place, which, you know, is kind of colluding with the karma, with conditioning.
Yeah, it's that help place that we talked about.
Yeah, the help place, yeah.
You know, the thing is, you were saying that back about, you know, talk a lot about the importance of keeping commitments, mm-hmm. talk a lot about it. And coaching and stuff too, and I can see that that's really the training to saying yes. So I have these concrete things that I agree to, and then I say yes, and then I keep doing it, I keep showing up, and I see that I can be trusted. I see that process of moving through the resistance, I don't feel like it, mm-hmm. to yes, and then now I can feel that training kick in when things are just arising to do. It's not on my commitment list, but it's just the support is arising, and because there's been that training, it's so much easier to see the resistance for what it is,
yeah.
and just say yes.
Isn't that so cool that that's the way it seems to work?
Yeah.
Because here we are in this place where we put ourselves in a place where we're training. We're taking in, we say it so many times a day, in this way, I do mostly believe I'll train myself.
Uh-huh.
And as you mentioned, it's moment by moment by moment, and you string those together, and what's happening is this person is being trained into the whatever it is the heart wants, you know, whether it's following guidance in the largest sense, right?
Yeah. And the last thing I just kind of want to say so I can hear myself say this is that I have another sort of karmic thing coming up. I was supposed to talk to my dad today, mm-hmm. and I'm talking a little bit about that. And another thing that arose was, hey, remember, you know, we've been having these practice weekends that are really awesome. And a while back, we did these keys and locks.
Uh-huh.
And we were doing it around a relationship. Uh-huh. And I did it around my dad. I was like, hey, remember, we have that poster that you made. And so it's like, oh, gosh. And it's like, oh, I don't want to look at that. I don't want to. Let's do it. And even made this morning recording. We said, you know, all the things that I usually do in the morning recording. Hey, we're going to take a look at that. So I did. Pulled it out, made a recording about it, and there's just all this amazing stuff on there. Like one of the keys was friendliness, and one of the things I put on there is, while you're on the call, smile. Yes. While you're on the call. And just that kind of stuff. Like, I can actually get on that call with that and just be smiling.
Yeah.
You know? And that just brought me to that place of friendliness and smiling.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, wow, we can choose those kinds of things. Mm. Or maybe it's already been chosen for us and we're just saying yes.
Yeah, that's what was dropping in for me. There's another example. It's just the support was there. Yes. Support was there. Yes. That's really all we're ever practicing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a way we choose it because we put ourselves in a situation where that's what we're offered and what we're practicing, what we're training. You know, so that sort of, I heard Sherry, I don't know if it was in an email class response or in a newsletter or something, but talk about that meta choice, you know, that ultimately we've chosen that, but then it's in that moment-to-moment basis that the yes, that supports the meta choice, mm-hmm. to wake up, and to receive, you know, or to say yes to whatever life is offering.
I've also been looking again at the don't avoid what there is to be done, don't invent things to do.
Uh-huh.
Gosh, it's so good. Yeah. What it reminds me of is when I come across, well, it's basically thy will be done, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Christians have so many great ways of talking about
right.
It's just that place of like, use me, God.
Uh-huh.
Because what it feels like it does is it's so completely that little I that is seeking what it wants, that creates, just like was said earlier, creates misery for us, mm-hmm. for the person.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, it hides in plain sight, because that doesn't seem, why would, that can't be right. That what I want is causing me suffering?
Yeah.
How can that be?
Yeah, it feels so counterintuitive from a certain perspective, isn't it? Like, well, how could, yeah, but it is. It's the I that is separate from life. It's kind of going after its own agenda, what it wants, and then causes the human to be in that helpless.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Excuse me, so many great things in the discussion this morning, but so some places that I've been looking at that is that everything is a gift for us, and so like yesterday, it's such a good example of it, that something arose where I didn't get something I really, really want or had wanted, mm-hmm. you know, gosh, I really love this thing, I want to do this thing, and it's not going to happen, mm-hmm. and I watched that. It was such a gift because it came into awareness. The whole thing happened in awareness, where it was like information and just that, you know, just kind of that. I guess it's like a third chakra, somewhere around the third, second, just kind of a punch place. And immediately there was this like, all right. Let's just stay here. Mm-hmm. Kind of don't, because there's so many things that could happen right there in that second, right? Mm-hmm. There's the, keep telling the story, or the, that's fine, that's completely fine.
Forget that you dissipate.
This is just, in fact, even like, this is good, you know, because I need to sharpen up. It's good for me to not get what I want.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's so many places it can go.
Yeah.
But it just felt like there was this mentoring presence of like, I just had that image that we talk about sometimes of being standing on top of a huge rubber ball.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
And this, because at any point, ego is trying to get it fixed.
Yep.
You know, be this way with it, be that way with it. Even the be here with it could be another one of those points.
It could be, but it didn't feel like that yesterday.
It didn't. It felt like such a support, and the way that it felt like that is like such an amazing place of being cared for that, how to describe it, the ability to be present with everything that is in compassion takes care of me in so much of a bigger way than this thing that I want.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
The thing that I want is, it's not a bad thing. It's not, it would have been a beautiful thing, you know, gratitude. And it was actually, I just remembered a piece of it, because I'm laughing, that it feels like this thing so opens my heart. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, you could say, if you were going to use Christian language, brings me closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to resist and hate it and be resentful and, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just so ironic because that's the opposite process of
yeah.
what supposedly
yeah.
is going to be offered to me in this thing.
Yeah. Let me see, because what's dropping, let me see if this is what you're describing. So it's so in the not my will, but thy will, because it's not that my will is bad in that sense, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, do I want this? It would be bring me closer to God. It would bring my heart open,
mm-hmm.
all that.
Mm-hmm.
But what was offered in that moment,
yeah.
the thy will,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe, is so much bigger and
yeah.
takes care of the human in
mm-hmm.
such a
mm-hmm.
large way.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, it even encompasses care for the person when that is impossible, when that doesn't happen.
Yeah, because what I saw when you said that was, I don't have the big picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's so, so relaxing. You know, wasn't there a Peace Corps or something that I saw recently that was like, you know, if you don't want to be stressed out, you know, resign as general manager of the universe. Maybe it was thrown in some other context, I thought, but just that, right, you know, because there's this idea, like, I really want this thing, and now I'm going to do something to try to get it, and the thing was, I didn't, you know, I put it out there that I love this thing. But that's all I did.
Yeah.
I didn't try to make it happen. I didn't, you know, just let go and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But the funny part is, because that won't happen for me, it will happen for someone else.
Oh.
Right?
Wow.
So then there's that place of like, yeah, but really, I want the biggest piece. I want the biggest piece. Because then I'll get to have the feeling that I want to have. I know you won't, but you'll probably be okay.
You don't want it that way.
Exactly. Or something convoluted like that, that sort of stays under the radar screen. And then the pseudo zen side of that is, no, we can't always get what we want. You know, got to let other people have the big piece first, which is like, okay, fine, I'm waiting for the next cake.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When's my big piece coming?
Yeah. We don't you love that tone of voice that pseudo zen. I mean, it really does have that,
yeah,
that voice of, this is good for you, even though it feels terrible.
Right.
It really makes you, it should make you happy, so don't sit there and pout.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're right. It's a place of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But we're not, again, we're not supposed to see that. We're supposed to just get yanked from one side of the duality to the other. I didn't get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you should
be such a selfish little.
Yes. Oh God, that's such a misery pendulum.
It is.
Both sides of that duality. I'm disappointed, and then I'm bad for feeling disappointed.
Right, right. And I think that's why that place of I can just stay here is that wide open invitation to what was being talked about earlier that I've been sitting with ever since that came up in group. That place of whatever's going on with me right now, that's my practice.
Yeah.
That's my practice. And don't miss the gift of it.
Yeah.
Right? Don't try to turn it into something else.
Yeah.
Right? So this thing that, you know, this whatever, you know, disappointment or whatever you want to call it or whatever it feels like in a given moment, that's it. That's the gem. You know? And then in the next moment, it's not disappointment. It's, you know, joy that is expansive, and then in the next moment it's ego trying to take it over, and then the next moment it's, you know, it's,
yeah,
constantly changing.
Yeah.
But to stay right here with whatever it is in this moment.
Yeah. So whatever the way you're describing is, no matter what it is in the moment, whether it be quote good, quote bad, quote big,
mm-hmm,
quote little, quote whatever,
mm-hmm,
the practice is to stay with it,
mm-hmm,
in this field of awareness where, as you started us out talking about, is the big picture of what is best for this person. Because we don't have the big picture. And
right,
blessedly,
right,
we get to relax into that which does,
mm-hmm,
and is really unfolding perfectly for,
mm-hmm,
us to wake up and suffering, to quote the every moment then, that's what's happening. That's
what
training.
Yeah. And again, so there's that, don't avoid what there is to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And don't invent, you know, it's basically don't have better ideas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's such an interesting just staying right here place, because sometimes what there is to be done is to sit quietly on the porch with a cup of tea. Right? And sometimes the inventing things to do could be, you know what, I'm going to make a recording that's going to, I mean, it's such a right here in this moment kind of a,
mm-hmm,
kind of a practice.
It, yes.
Yeah.
It so is.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah. I've been practicing too with the don't avoid what needs to be done, don't make up stuff to do, and noticing the connection between them, that there can be an experience of attending to something that needs to be done that feels like a process of presence.
Uh-huh.
And that feels so good.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then seeing how then there's an attempt to get to that feeling so good by making up and I actually noticed that, like, flip from day to day.
Uh-huh.
Like, so one evening there might be some energy available. And there's just a dropping in, or a seeing something that needs attending to, and a saying yes and feeling right in that momentum of yes.
Mm-hmm.
And just then, you know, so enjoying that. And it feels like it's that process where everything feels like thank you for the energy to do this, thank you for the energy to do this, what's now? And then the next day, there's a, oh, that was so good yesterday, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
You know, and then looking for the thing to do that's going to produce that feeling. And just so that's like the, you know, the ego conversation scramble of the process. And then, yeah, The ego, okay, so the ego scramble, I lost you. Mm-hmm. Well, let me just reflect and then it'll be clear to you, I'm sure. The process that you're describing is being with the energy of life so fully and so completely, and that there's this gratitude and thank you, and oh, it feels so good, mm-hmm. that what then can happen on the heels of that is ego takes it and sort of tries to recreate it,
yeah.
and looking for that to get back to that thing again.
Right, uh-huh. as if it's the content that's going to lead to the process, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just, so I've been seeing that. It can happen like, you know, so last Saturday evening there was loads of energy and it felt like that available energy to attend to things that needed to be attended to. And then last night it didn't feel like that. And so there was that watching that, okay, I see what's going on here. There's like, there's a conversation about trying to feel how we felt last week by doing what we did last week, right?
Yeah.
And so I've been catching on to that on Google and getting assistance with it, just with this really simple thing that's turning out to be so powerful, just picking up the recorder and saying, Menda, what do you suggest? Putting it into the left hand, and it's that, you know, awareness expands to see the human as she is in that moment, and all of, like, I guess to see what's appropriate for that moment.
Yeah.
And say, you know, get her a shower and get the bed. Uh-huh.
So it's turning, so in that process of, first of all, recognizing that, okay, there's that bamboozle getting going,
yeah.
of wanting to recreate this energy, whatever I felt last week, mm-hmm. and then picking up the recorder, turning to the mentor and saying, okay, what do you suggest? And then the mentor, it sounds like in that process of doing that, it expands the field of awareness, yeah. to where what is appropriate in that moment, mm-hmm. on that Saturday night. On yeah. that, you know, that particular day, can drop in,
yeah.
and no longer, and the attention is turned away from the pseudo Zen bamboozle story, yeah. and to what is right here in this moment.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
not inventing things to do.
Yeah, and I love it so much because it's like that training of catching on to that feeling of being bamboozled, right? Uh-huh. I can tell, like, attention's going to a conversation about. Maybe to a conversation about what needs attending to in this moment, instead of the presence to it.
Yeah.
Like this, or what would be the best, you know,
slippery, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. And so catching on to that and using that as a cue to pick up the recorder to say, Menda, what do you suggest to get here?
Yeah. Catching on to how it feels.
Yeah.
To be attending to that conversation, how it feels in the body, yeah. what the conversation's going on in the head, all yeah. of that. And using that as the cue as your exit ramp.
Exactly.
Like, okay, there's the feeling, I want to get out of there.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I did it the other night too, where there was just like, it was that feeling of like attention on like a conversation about how to get out of this karmic, you know, not feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, that bamboozle, we need to leave here to fix the karma, right? Mm-hmm. to resolve something.
Mm-hmm.
And did that, picked up the recorder, mentor, what do you suggest? And the mentor suggested dance.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just that brilliant thing where there was just a yes, did it, and saw how that conversation is never going to suggest dance. So it takes picking up the recorder to give the human a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that different experience of the energy and being in the body and being here and not being in that calming conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That conversation is never going to
suggest. That conversation is never going to suggest or to take you where it is that the heart really wants to go, because it can't. It has nothing to do with the heart.
Yeah.
And it takes picking up the recorder to have access to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there it is. It always is there.
Yeah, redirecting the attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really fun. And I'm just so, you know, like,
Well, we talked about it in the group that we're putting in listening training, right? That efficiency where it's getting straight to the root of love and compassion that animates. Mental, what do you suggest? I can feel like I'm being jerked around here.
That's such a good point. That it's, there's an efficiency to it. You know, and we talk about it all the time in terms of, you know, just a turn of attention, just a turn of attention. And that implies the quick nature of it. But what you're saying is that you're getting a visceral experience of it. Mm-hmm. The mentor, what do you suggest, is like the hand reaching, you know, reaching out for somehow a tangible way of redirecting the attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other night, I think it was just Thursday night when Sherry was here, I talked about seeing how, having, really experiencing how karma is totally always setting up things so they'll happen the same way, and that because karma is looking, then it's proof that it is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and seeing, you know, really seeing that. And I had another opportunity to see that again, mm-hmm. and how it worked in the live situation. So I was on a call, and there were other people on the call, and the people were talking about a certain thing that's going on that feels kind of like a... there's something to accomplish by a certain time, something that's possible to accomplish that has what I thought was has a the meaning of it is that you've been successful, mm-hmm. and if you don't get that done by a certain time, you haven't been successful. And different people were actually talking about that, and I was really in a place of kind of feeling urgent about it because things weren't falling into place as they were leading to the outcome.
You weren't going to be in that successful.
I wasn't going to be there, and I had already felt because I haven't been in a place that looks like successful for kind of a long time. I had decided that this thing, I was going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to have to get out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so here comes the deadline coming, and I'm starting to get all, anxious about it.
Mm-hmm.
So other people are talking about this, but I'm not saying anything on the call. And so I remembered that one of those three things that we chose for the year, guidelines or something.
Yeah.
One of them was.
The word? You mean it's on the calendar?
On the when we did our best year yet.
Oh, your guidelines.
With the other project. So one of my guidelines was I ask for help when I need it.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, oh good, well then I need to speak up. Uh-huh. And I didn't feel comfortable saying all of this, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of laid it out, and the guy's response was, "That's just horse pucky," and it was just like, "Wah!" You know, I mean,
doesn't
ego
hate it when
ego's
revealed?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, ego's all of it, every bit of it. But what I saw was that the karma is that I don't ask. Because that's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to be
humiliated
for not knowing ahead of time or not being able to do it on my own, because that's kind of like the conditioning that led to that particular piece of karma.
Uh-huh.
And so all of that karma just was just, you know, I was just like in a place of just kind of all my pieces just scattered in the air. Uh-huh. You know, I was just blown up. And again, it was just such a perfect thing for the being to see that the eyes with which I was looking was looking for that, I guess, or created the situation where that's what, it just was another reinforcement of the karma.
Yes.
Because what it was just, I guess, just the truth coming back, you know, guidance in a 2x4 swing.
Well, let me see if I'm with you. So what you're saying is that the karma was there, was what you were feeling, all this, I'm not going to be successful.
Oh, yeah, and I got this deadline, and I'm not going to make it, and I'm just.
And what was available was the guideline from the heart 2016 commitment of ask for help.
Yeah.
So putting it out there was what dropped in to do, which was met with the clarity of that we can, you know, project. That's just horse pucky. And then that felt, this is the part I just want to clarify. The karma was what got smashed to smithereens.
Yes, and but since I was identified with it, it felt like me.
Yes. And you saw that that was so good for the human to see.
Yeah, and, you know, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and. So after that, there was just this kind of, you know, feeling like blown up.
Yeah.
And then
that feeling of when ego is blown up and is now kind of scrambled to try to get itself back together in some way.
Right. And there was also the authenticity was there trying to figure out where do I fit into this or something too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that wasn't authenticity, was it? That was a pseudo authenticity.
Trying to figure out how I fit into all.
Yeah, where is the authenticity in this? You know, it was just that kind of disintegrated experience.
Uh huh.
And then. You know, I saw a similar behavior as I described the other night in that I got shortly after that, I got an invitation to go somewhere else and be in another kind of environment where a person who was sitting feeling ego destroyed wouldn't go. And so there was the clarity there that started to say, no, thanks, and just said, okay, let's just get up and go. And before I did that, what the guidance was for me to get a certain media piece to listen to, and to download it and this and that thing. So that was the first thing I did when I got the phone. I did that, so that was good. Then I went to this thing, and then there was something else after that that was another thing that was, you know, was in a not karmic realm to go to. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, what am I trying to say? I'm just trying to share what happened, I guess, and to just see that the karma is there, and if it's there, it needs to be blown up. And it's painful, but it's.
And what was the experience of the person who was saying yes to those things that kept coming in that were not of the karma? The invitation to listen to the recording and the listening and the all of that. What was that experience like?
That was an experience of building something other than what was, you know, I was building something that I was being directed towards rather than staying in the place that had just gotten blown up, that had been revealed as, you know, conditioning.
So staying in, well, and it's what we've been talking about, isn't it? The support is offered, and, mm-hmm. and there's mm-hmm. a yes. It's met with a yes. Mm-hmm. So the guidance was, listen to this thing. You did it. There's an invitation to go to this other thing. You said yes. Mm-hmm. So there was that support, and it feels like it was a building something other than the karmic story that was just blown up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was supporting the authentic person.
Yeah.
Who can't be alone.
Yeah, yeah. Supporting the authentic person. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't really see that, but yeah, that's, yeah. Yeah. Because what the person, the karma that got blown up was the person who thought she was doing the right thing. You know, the person who saw that she was hiding and didn't want to hide and so wanted to reveal herself and then revealed herself and got told that was all crapola, or not crapola, horse bucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so she was, there was something in there that's what the look was, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the karma that goes on, mm-hmm. you know, that I can't come out. I can't be this person. Because it's wrong, you know, it's not the right person, it's horse pucky.
Yeah, but what it sounds like you're seeing in that is that's not actually who you are.
Right,
because the
right.
authenticity is that which cannot be blown up,
right.
you know, can never feel like
right.
she's wrong and shouldn't be
right.
that way.
Right, that is some conditioning that got attached.
It's we might say an identity.
It totally is an identity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the hiding comes from that particular identity that you must hide, because if you don't, you know, people are going to see how just wrong you are.
Yeah.
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 And so, So, you know, this just happened yesterday, so I haven't really got it all clear, but, you know, it's clear that the conditioning got blown up, and
mm-hmm.
there was some authenticity there that wasn't willing to sit and wallow in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that didn't have anything going on about it, because she was saying yes to all of the different biases that were being offered.
Yeah.
And that's what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah. So it seems like the rapidity with which these incidences are happening, it seems like after 70 years, this karma is finally free to come up and to be let go.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
It's getting taken out left and right.
Yeah, they're being taken out left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I wanted to say too, I had the blessing of when I was driving in here. Driving along and came to this particular tall stand of grass beside the road, and as my truck approached that stand of grass, this gigantic blue heron just came out of the grass, you know, and flew across the road into the field where the two horses were. So it felt like, you know, like I just kept going, but then there was another part of the story.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have seen that horse on its back, wiggling its legs in the air.
Yeah, you got the gist of the blue heron.
Yeah, he's just coming up out of there and coasting across the road. Beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love this thing about the birds. I noticed it many years ago. Birds save me all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. It's just constant on the golf course.
And what?
It's constant on the golf course.
All on the golf course, yeah.
Just wonderful.
They're saving you all the time while you're on the golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
And I'm silently just making big gestures to that red-winged blackbird perched on that, what do you call those things, cattail. like 20 feet away, just doing that loud noise gets me out of. That was terrible. I don't like these people. Driving down the road, I've noticed it for years. It's wonderful. I'm driving down the road, just lost. Just yeah. Somewhere. You know? And an owl.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like they're like heralds. You know, like, be here. Oh, isn't it? It's one of those things that is just like you're saying, just a oh, thank you. Yeah, I use the, I kind of can feel that way with anything in nature, like a tree. Oh, thank you for being here. You know, but these birds, they give us the sound to attend to, and they give us their beautiful flight to attend to, and they just save us. Save us from our heads.
Yeah. There aren't nearly enough of them, though. There were a few more.
Maybe listen to bird sounds on our recorder all the time. Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. And then, I had to, that was the
first okay. Thing I
remember. Then, looking at how the phrase, if it itches, I must scratch. Mm-hmm. That is really, it just really encompasses so much of what is involved when I'm what I call ginning around. Mm-hmm. It's like there's just, it's like conditioning is just one giant itch. And there's, and I'll spend days just scratching. That's whatever it wants. Okay. And it plays right into my Enneagram karma, Enneagram type karma of comfort seeking. And I love that it's just a cat scratch. There's no. And it's hours on the end of being not conscious of that's all that's going on. And then having the miracle place of nothing wrong available.
Yeah.
And I'm just, okay, so I'm back here. Bird flies by.
Yeah.
You know, metal bird flies by.
Yeah.
For so many years in practice, it would have just been met with nothing but judgment.
Yeah.
I'm wrong, I shouldn't be like this.
Yeah. And now
it's just a miracle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miracle.
let me just reflect that because it's so big. So after going, you know, you can find yourself in days of just kind of scratching that comfort itch, you know, just whatever conditioning wants, it's going to get. Then there was, then there'll be this mental burst, or whatever brings us back to the moment, to see that, and no longer is it met with what would have always been the case, judgment. It's just, thank you, come back, just here, nothing wrong. Wow, such a good place.
Great, good fortune.